Good evening, and welcome to today's program of the Commonwealth Club of California. Find us on the internet at www.commonwealthclub.org. I'm Ann Clark, a member of the Commonwealth Club and chair of the Environment and Natural Resources member-led forum. We're also co-sponsored by the Business and Leadership Forum, Kevin O'Malley Chair. Our program tonight, San Francisco Neighborhood Newspapers, Creating Healthy and Informed Environments and Neighborhoods. It is my pleasure to introduce our moderator, Glenn Gulmes, who is a publisher of the West Portal Monthly. Glenn will introduce our distinguished panel. Glenn?
Thank you. Our distinguished panelist today, starting to my left here, is Willie Radcliffe. As the publisher of the San Francisco Bayview, Willie's well known at City Hall for leading, lending a voice, and vigorously working on behalf of the Bayview Hunter's Voice community. Focusing on African American issues, the Bayview Online reaches an international audience. Earl Atkins here. Over the years, he has served as publisher of Publish Magazine for IDG, BAM Magazine, which served Bay Area musicians, and Honolulu Magazine, and San Francisco Focus for 10 years, during which time he's also served as a member of the executive committee overseeing KQED. Juan Gonzalez is the founder of El Tecolote and chair of the City College Journalism Department. An original SFNNA member, Juan has overseen the journalism department, out of which six publishers in the San Francisco Neighborhood Newspaper Association have come. So I'd like to welcome our distinguished panel here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the San Francisco Neighborhood Newspaper Association. 25 years ago, I was invited to a meeting of 10 neighborhood papers. At that time, we were all operating on our own, doing our own thing. The publisher of the Marina and the new Fillmore papers decided we should all get together and talk. And what came out of that was something I could never have imagined. At this point, we have grown to 14 newspapers, with circulations ranging from about 10,000 to 30,000 each, now reaching 250,000 households in San Francisco each month, which makes us the largest print media penetration in the city. So a bunch of smaller publications, which are very nimble and focused on their communities, are able to come together in a very cooperative business model and make a big impact on the city, and at the same time, are very attractive for advertisers because we reach more households than anybody in the city. We're a little bit below the radar individually, but as a group, having quite a large impact. Celebrating 25 years as an association, San Francisco Neighborhood Newspaper Day will be on October 22nd. So mark that on your calendar and make sure you read a neighborhood newspaper that day. Over the years, we've been involved in quite a few things as an organization. We regularly meet with the mayor and a lot of city officials. We were instrumental in helping launch the city's recycling program. About 15 years ago, the recycling program, the predecessor to the Department of Environment, commissioned a study that showed that among those surveyed, this recycling message was seen most often in the neighborhood papers as part of their regular ad campaign. In keeping with the environmental mindedness, our publications are printed with soy-based ink on recycled paper and are completely gluten-free. Our mission is to build community, preserve neighborhood character, keep residents informed, create a community forum for neighborhood issues, and provide an affordable advertising platform for local merchants and major corporations that are doing business throughout the city. With our hyper-local, community-focused, unique, targeted content, we offer expert coverage and a deeper understanding of issues facing the community than other larger publications. And in fact, we're doing quite well as an organization. Even though we are a free press, we're available for free on your doorstep, at news racks, and the local shops and libraries. In terms of ad revenue, last year was our high water mark, and we look to be on track to break that by quite a large margin this year. So we're kind of going counter to the trend of newspapers that are having troubles. We're doing quite well. We're staying within our neighborhoods and serving the communities, but together we're doing okay. So that's very reassuring. We're adapting to the marketplace, but overall, I think we'll be fine. We like to think of ourselves as a trusted source of information. So when you go out and find our paper, it's like you meet your best friend at your doorstep or at the coffee shop or at your library, and you trust them. And so advertisers who advertise with us know that they're going to be well-received, and they're going to get insight from the people who live in their neighborhoods and are able to really address issues in a way that other large concerns that maybe are just coming through don't really get. So anyhow, I just kind of wanted to give you a kind of an overview of what the association does and that we're going strong. So I'm going to turn it over to our local panelists here and ask each one of them basically to tell us a little about the paper and how they're serving the community. So I'll start with Juan Gonzalez on the end here. Tell us a little bit about your publication and how you're serving the community.
Well, El Tecolote has been published since 1970, so we're just celebrated 44 years of being in the business of publishing information for the Mission community. It's basically a Mission community newspaper. And a lot of our focus is on local issues in the neighborhood, the popular culture in the neighborhood that oftentimes doesn't get addressed by the major big media in the city. And, you know, we basically see ourselves as a tool, not only informing the community, but also maybe complementing some of the efforts that are trying to make some social change. I think we're real clear that we have a role to play in trying to foster change that really is going to make a difference and help the community. So when you read the pages of El Tecolote, you'll see a number of the stories that focus on those kinds of issues like gentrification, which is a big issue right now with evictions in the neighborhood. You know, I think that's our biggest story. Oftentimes we'll deal with services. They're bilingual services in that neighborhood that to serve the monolingual population. In fact, it's probably one of our biggest stories that we made some substantial changes at the General Hospital to actually include translation services and things of that nature because of the reporting that we did and brought that to the attention, and they forced them to do so. Same thing with Pacific Telephone and Telegraph at the time that it existed. We pointed out that there are people using the services and could not find an operator to speak the language to just get simple information. And we did a major study and tested it out and sort of proved out that in fact there were some deficiencies. And that story resulted in the company having to make some changes, substantial changes in setting goals to establish a translation service. So we find the stories that are out there and a lot of times bring it to our attention by residents of the community. So I think the gratifying thing is that people over the years have finally, you know, we're now an institution. They realize that the paper has some value, and if anyone's going to listen to concerns about what's going on in the neighborhood, they come to us and they'll say, look, we've got to let you know that this was what's going on, and can you help? And if we establish it that this is legit, we're going to cover the story and follow up. The important thing is follow up, not just let it go. One story is easy to do, but to continue to follow up until there's some resolution to that issue. So it's been a blessing to be in that neighborhood to publish it. And, you know, I kind of committed 5 years of my life, and 44 years later, I'm still at it. And 6 more years will be 50 years, and that's unprecedented to be publishing a newspaper with diverse ways of raising money through advertising, we're a nonprofit. We set up a nonprofit model, and we get donations and grants and you name it. So we diversify our funding, not to rely on one source, and it's really worked. In fact, the big boys are now considering nonprofit models as maybe a way of staying alive. But we've learned, by matter of fact, that it worked for us, and we're able to sustain it.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the marina.
My name is Earl Adkins, and I'm the publisher of the Marina Times. We distribute 30,000 copies monthly to San Francisco's northern neighborhoods. In addition to community content, we are a general interest lifestyle publication. Our publication is edited for affluent, educated, professional people who are our constituency. We rely on the content of our contributors. We have an outstanding team of writers and editors that put the paper together. And we're having a great deal of success and traction in the market today. I think it's a result of our team and our editorial focus on lifestyle issues.
Willie, tell us about the Bayview.
Well, the Bayview is certainly a labor of love. I mean, my wife worked, I won't say how many hours, but we go to bed at midnight and we get up at 8. So to keep it going, because it's been a struggle. We are the only paper that I know of that we ask to put out stories from overseas and places around the world. They say, well, if nobody else will print it, send it to the Bayview. Right. And we look at it, and if it's one of the things that we feel that our people should know and look at it, we print it. Whether it's in Haiti, whether it's in Palestine, just wherever it's from, Africa, anywhere in the world. And we are now just hiring a woman from Africa that's going to be part of our paper. And she will write about all of the, anywhere that there are black people. And I don't know where you can go now and don't find a few. Right. And so we picked up the paper. It started, actually the paper started in 1976. But we picked it up in 1991. The guy that had been running it, he was having problems, and anyway, he wanted to go back to his wife, and so he sold it to us for $2,000. But another lady offered him $10,000, but he knew that what he had been working so hard and so long on, we would keep that going. He knew us just from being, you know, in the community and things that we had been doing, that we would keep the paper going and make sure that the things that he wanted to see done in the paper would keep going. And I really appreciate him for doing that. And we didn't even have the money to buy the paper. I'm a general contractor, so I did some work for a guy. I did a sub contract with a guy. And he didn't want to pay me, but he didn't know. My wife went down there and sit in his office, and she wouldn't leave till he gave her a check, and that's how we got the paper, for $2,000. But that was a lot of money. We didn't have it, you know. So it's been a struggle all the way, but it's been, like I say, a struggle of love that we like. And if our paper wasn't out there, you would see Hunters Point Naval Shipyard. You see houses all over. But what we did back in the 90s in pushing the Navy to clean up the shipyard, we went and pulled all the health records to show that people in that area around that shipyard died from 25 to 35 years early. Now they're trying to sell the public houses out there that you have to sign your life away. You can't plant nothing in your yard, and you have to sign off for that. And why would anybody put their family through that and then pay for it? I wouldn't live out there for free, because you ain't going to live that long, you know? And the public really need to know that. But they don't. Some of them still don't seem to get it, and they're just throwing up boxes out there anyway. You know, they look terrible. So, but anyway, it's a long fight that's going on out there, and we are putting together Rising Sun Investments to get people, and Rising Sun Developers to get people to invest so we can start creating our own job in development. You know, I've did projects all over the country, all over, in, you know, in other, in Canada and all over the United States. So we do have the experience to do it, but inequality in San Francisco, the richest city in the world, I say. I ain't heard, every time I say it, I don't hear nobody doubt it. You know, look at the amount of people we got here and how much money we spend. You see all these, what's going on here now? All that's going on, but we still got inequality here for African Americans, people of color, and women. And it's time us doing something about it, you know. That's what our paper is trying to do. We're trying to get people to, we got a prospectus coming out to get people to invest. Invest in yourself, in your children. If you invest in yourself and your children, then we can create jobs, then we can get the young people to come out and start voting. They're voting 20% in our neighborhood. They used to vote 100%. What happened? Inequality. Prisons. San Francisco jail more people than anywhere in the world. Right here in this city that's supposed to be so liberal. But when you really check it out, we got a long ways to go. And all of us need to work hard to change it. And that's what the Bayview is about. But we want to see the world change. We want to see it changed in Haiti. That's been going on long enough. They tell us to get over it. Nobody get over being locked in like they got Haiti. Nobody being get over being what's happening in Palestine. What's going on over there, you know. So these wars and things that we got going around the world, we need to stop them. But when countries like the United States, Britain, France, and all this, when you go into another country where all of the resources are like Africa, instead of leaving those people enough to live well, they go in there and just take everything. That's what keep wars going. And all of us need to be involved in stopping. Wars take all the money away that we need to do the things we need about climate change, about our school system, paying our teachers what they're worth, and just so many things. Anyway, I could go on all night. But I'll stop. But one thing I want to say, I want to thank all of the members of the Neighborhood Newspaper Association for working together, because we no way we could have been able to accomplish what any of us did if we hadn't have been together. Thank you.
Yeah, that's very true. We've got a very cooperative business model where we share resources with one another, content and talent, and in being able to work with one another on as far as bringing in advertising and stuff, that is makes the difference in a lot of our operations, which are, you know, in each neighborhood, you've got your advertising base of the restaurants and realtors and small business retail. But the neighborhood association, by cooperating with each other, we're able to reel in large advertisers that won't look at smaller papers, but together we are quite a force. So within the past few years, we've reeled in PG&E's advertised, Google, Intuit, Sutter Health is a regular advertisers, museums, colleges. It's quite a unique way of doing business that hopefully a lot of the other smaller businesses can look to get to how they can work together to help each other, because we're all colleagues up here. We all have our individual papers, but we're working together to help each other do it, and it really is working. It's an amazing thing. I would like to throw out a question. See, give us an example of what you're all doing to help foster a healthy environment. What's in the community? How is it building a neighborhood consciousness, something that Anybody want to jump in there?
Sure, I'll jump on that one, just because I need the credibility. The Marina Times, we, as I said earlier, we're a general interest lifestyle publication, so we cover a wide variety of topics and subjects that we believe are of interest to our readers. And recently, there was an interesting conflict taking place within our community in the Marina, which was there was an effort to build a restaurant on the Marina Green. And as you can imagine, there were some folks that thought that was a horrible idea. And then there were some folks that said, why can't a business operate where it wants to operate? And, that's the kind of a topic that a local community publication can sink its teeth into and articulate the points of view and help move people. And as a result of our coverage and working with the local community, the restaurant was put aside because, frankly, there was not the support for it. And it's now scheduled to be a monument to the earthquake of 1989, which was, that's an example of how a community newspaper can have an impact in its local community. It can bring a topic to the forefront for public debate and discussion. It can not necessarily even take a side. It can present multiple points of view on it, articulate the issues, and in doing so, start the dialogue. And that's a very realistic example of impact of a local community newspaper.
Yeah, I think as for El Tecolote, I think one of the things that's really important is bringing an identity to the community. I think a lot of times a paper can really bring some sense of who we are as a people living in this neighborhood. And I really believe that El Tecolote has done that because people can identify with the paper, identify the things, and they get a better definition of what's happening in the community, and they have a better perspective and outlook in terms of what are the challenges and what things that are happening that are really improving, that services that are now there that they didn't realize that happened, they were there before. But I think part of the way of serving the community, and that's what I like to believe, that a paper, our new neighbor newspapers serve our constituencies there, is that we also serve as a training ground, which is, getting young people off the streets and come and learn the craft of being a writer and a photographer and a, layout artist and a cartoonist, using their skills as art so that they can apply it to something. And hopefully it'll excite them enough so that they will think about, hey, maybe this is something I need to consider as a pathway for a career or whatever the case be. I think we when we do that, really help parents and help those that might be misguided to really kind of get a focus. And sometimes we don't think that that's helping build a healthy community, but it does, because people are no longer, and elements are in the streets, and they're there trying to learn something and make right for themselves. So I think over the years, El Tecolote has done just that. I mean, we've had more than 400 volunteers that have worked for the paper over the 44 years, and many of them just kind of thinking about it and suddenly have gone into specialized training in that and gone to City College or gone to San Francisco State to complement what they've got a little taste of at our paper. And, we're pretty much an all-volunteer-based publication with a few people that get paid to do the nuts and bolts of putting the paper together. And so I think that really contributes a very positive way to the neighborhood when you're looking at, helping young people. And we make it a point that that's one of our missions, that we're going to do that as best we can.
This is Ann Clark, and you're listening to the Commonwealth Club of California Radio and our program, San Francisco Neighborhood Newspapers, Creating Healthy and Informed Environments and Neighborhoods, with Juan Gonzalez, whom you've just heard, the founder and editor of El Tecolote, Earl Atkins, publisher of the Marina Times, Willie Radcliffe, publisher of the San Francisco Bay View, and our moderator, Glenn Golmas, publisher of the West Portal Monthly. Glenn, back to you.
Yeah, I wanted to pick up on what Juan was saying there. Neighborhood papers really are present opportunities for people to get involved in ways that they might not have the chance to get their voice out there. I'm a native San Franciscan. I was on my school newspaper at Lowell, at City College, at San Francisco State, and I ended up writing a letter to the editor of my local paper, and next thing you know, I ended up on the staff, and then that kind of morphed into another thing, and I ended up taking over a paper. I also came out of the City College program, so it's just one of those opportunities for people that we have a lot of citizen journalists, we have activists who write for us, we have merchants who have their say, and we also include stuff from like our local supervisors and what have you. Police blotter is a big thing, keeps everybody up to speed on what's going on in their neighborhoods. It really presents an opportunity that we're asking for the community to be involved. We're trying to create a dialogue, and we're trying to build a sense of community that can really get people up to speed with what's going on and pay attention, because there usually comes a point when there's some possible development that could change the character of a neighborhood, or there's some trend that needs to be dealt with, or some public officials that need to be woken up. I think that's part of our job, because the larger papers don't necessarily address these issues. We're on the ground, and the people who write for us tend to live in the neighborhood. They see things before they really take off and can be serious problems. So I do want to encourage people to really get involved. It can make a difference. Neighborhoods have unique personalities. They also have unique challenges. And I was going to ask Willie here. Bayview Hunters Point is kind of has some economic development going on there. There's things happening. Tell us how your paper's been involved with helping get the little economic development going there.
Well, one of the things we do, since we don't have the funds we need for the paper, when people call us up and say, hey, I want you to run this, you have to write it. That's how we get them. You have to write it. We have learned, I guess, 30 or 40 people how to write that thought they couldn't write at all. But once they got into it, and then they love it, and so, you know, everybody jump up and they'll write something and send it in. Or if they can't get something done with the city and they want it in the paper, they send it to us. We verify it and hey, we print it. So now we got a good thing going with people learning how to write and give us stories. And don't call up and tell us, I want to. We do get interviews with people that wants to come in. We get interviews with people. Somebody from France just came in the other day. We had the interview, you know. So when people come to this country, they want to interview us about what's happening, because we are, with our website, we're all over the world, and they see what's going on, and they'll send us stories. We get stories from France, the British, and what just happened with them over there, you know?
Scotland,
yeah. Right.
How much traffic are you getting on your website these days? What kind of?
You would have to ask my wife. I'm so busy, I can't keep up with it. But anyway, anybody want to go on their websites? sfbayview.com.
Yeah, no, yeah. They really are getting quite a lot of page views. It's mm-hmm. It's incredible. It's they're doing quite a good job. That is reaching beyond San Francisco, so.
Right, in a neighborhood, if everybody's on the same page, at least you know what's going on. And it's up to you if you want to make a move or you'd be too scared. I got one gentleman with his hand up back here.
It seems to me that San Francisco
Just one moment. One moment. That's a great question. Let's have each of the panelists respond to them, and then will the audience wait a little bit longer until we have a chance to open it up to the whole audience for questions. Thanks a lot. So let's have a response. Juan, let's start with you to that question and just come down the road.
Well, I think the beauty of the San Francisco Neighborhood Newspaper Association is that we can collectively decide on stories that look at the big picture and run them in all our newspapers at about the same time, and that will have a great impact because of the readership as a combined effort we have. We can do editorials we've done in the past. We can do investigative pieces that we can all share and raise questions and bring the spotlight to what you mentioned. I think there's power in doing that, but if we collectively feel that this is something that's dangerous to our neighborhoods, then I think we have a responsibility to raise those questions, and at least, information is power. And if you get a lot of people suddenly thinking in the same ideas of what's wrong, and you can affect some change. And I think it's all about putting the brakes on those kinds of things. But we as a group, as an association, when we do that, you can believe we can exercise some real muscle. And I think that's what's really going to help in that, what you raise.
Thank you. It's an interesting question because, like a lot of people think that community newspapers are like focused only on their community. I think Willie has addressed the fact that he does international content. Bottom line is that we look at issues that impact the quality of life of our readership, and that's our that's what we consider our editorial mission, to report on those issues. So we go beyond the scope of our community for content regularly, and we address the kind of issues the Marina Times addresses regularly, the kind of issues you just brought up. We just recently published a four-part series on the impact of growth in San Francisco, which is everybody's talking about it. I mean, it is. There's one topic. Is that an appropriate topic for a community newspaper? You might ask yourself. Well, sure, it is. And why? Well, anything that impacts the quality of life of your community is a topic you should be paying attention to. And so it's not only are we focused on developing information and community news, we look at the broader picture and we're concerned about it. And we pay attention to it regularly, and I invite you to read the Marina Times and see how we address these issues. We do some work, and I'm sure everybody else does too.
Yeah, I was going to explore a little bit. Technology has impacted our city, and it's also very much impacted our business. We started desktop publishers, and now we're dealing with online, mobile. We're in the process of developing an app for the neighborhood papers. What do you see the industry, the transition of our industry, the transition of our neighborhoods? What do you see as the future of the neighborhood papers, and why are the neighborhood papers flourishing in the midst of this whole transition, when other newspapers are struggling so much, the Daily is struggling so much? Why are the neighborhood papers flourishing?
Who are you asking?
Oh, Earl, I'm looking at you.
Okay.
To tell it like it is.
Well, first of all, we're a good read, and we provide intelligent information and community news. And we entertain. We provide information that's outside the scope of our community, as I referred to earlier. And I think that there's a core readership out there. There are some people who like to read. They like paper, and they want to hold it in their hands and they want to read it. I mean, we're online as well, and we have an online audience, but we also, we've got 30,000 people every month reading our newspaper. 30,000. And they're all gone. We put them out there, boom, they're gone. So that's, we could do more. But we, you know, there's the economics of the business, you know, kind of keep that in check. But in terms of, you know, what's the future of where are we going? I think as long as we hold our franchise, which is our community, serve it and entertain it and present it with information that is has an impact on the quality of life, we'll retain readership and we'll continue to be strong and we'll grow in relation to all the other alternatives, which I think one of the reasons that we're doing so well right now is that there is we're doing some of the best journalism and reporting that is taking place. And I know for a fact that the Marina Times is being, we're a monthly, so dailies have a huge advantage on us. And I can tell you, when we publish an issue, week later I'll see a story in the Chronicle, or I'll see it in the Examiner, or a month or two later they'll pick it up and they'll do the story. It's not like we're on the cutting edge or anything, but we're just reporting what's going on. And the dailies have lost their grip on what's going on. And I think this is where we are, where our strength lies, and not only that, I'll turn it over to somebody else, but we also attract really talented people who want a voice. There are a lot of good writers out there, and they want a platform to write, and we're happy to provide it to them. And, you know, that's the other side of it. We attract quality contributors. And I think the future, frankly, is, you know, is I don't see it changing dramatically. I really don't, as long as we stay relevant.
You know, I just want to add one thing, is that, you know, I'm a professor of journalism, so I have to deal with this question, what is happening with the state of journalism? You know, sure, we've seen a decline in daily newspapers, but small press, the recent Pew study says people are picking up small newspapers and they're just digesting it. That's the closest that comes to their life experiences, okay? And that paper, as we know it, is still being as attractive. People want to read newspapers, okay? It's not a day, maybe the dailies, but the small press, man, it's still attractive. And also, you know, we got, in our neighborhood, we got a digital divide. You know, not everybody has computers and you know, we have to deal with that digital divide. So the paper continues to be very useful and an important part of what they read and becoming informed. But I think no matter, the platforms are changing, the delivery of news are changing, right? But the bottom line, they're still going to need content providers, people who are trained and know the business of journalism to go out and get the information, package it, write it up in a way that's digestible. That's not going to go away, you know. And we're at the grassroots level where we're training those folks that are going to be the content providers that are going to tell the stories that is important to be told. So the craft of journalism is still going to be with us for years to come. The platforms are going to change, no doubt. And, you know, and we adapted. You know, we have our Twitters, we have our Facebooks, and that, and we just adapted, but it's just another way to reach an audience, maybe a younger audience or those that are using the social media, just to expand what we are already doing successfully. So it's a compliment, but we're not seeing ourselves of drying up the daily news, the weekly newspapers, and doing something else. I think it's important that we sustain that.
I need to say well, we distribute papers in the East Bay from San Leandro all the way through to Richmond, Oakland, Berkeley, every month. But we have a daily online that we put stories on every day. Newspapers will always be here because people do want to read. And there's two different areas out there. One is a paper for rich folks like the Chronicle, and then papers like ours is for the people. So there's a different dichotomy out there, period. So that's why people want to read neighborhood newspapers, because these are the people that really care about the people in the neighborhoods and people in the city or people in the state. And yeah. it goes right on.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. And to touch on your point, that because people are reading and because people are engaged, we're having to pay our printing bills still, but we're able to reach out to major corporations that realize that if they want to reach the communities and they want to be perceived as civic-minded and they want to get their message out in a cost-effective way, the neighborhood papers are a very, very effective way for them to do it. And that's what's keeping us going, is that it's amazing that studies have shown that publications that are focused on particular subject matter, you know, specific interests, as we're focusing on our neighborhoods, have a better reader response rate, up to 50% better than other public publications. Because we're so focused in our community, we have an audience and readership that is very engaged and very passionate about it. So advertisers that are able to reach out through that way and come along in the envelope of our papers, they realize the value in that. And because that value doesn't seem to be going any way, it seems like somehow our bottom line is improving against all odds compared to the rest of the journalism. It's the small neighborhood hyperlocal journalism is a thing that will persist for quite a while. Online and mobile, it's coming, but paper is happening.
This is Ann Clark, and you're listening to the Commonwealth Club of California Radio and our program, San Francisco Neighborhood Newspapers, Creating Healthy and Informed Environments in Neighborhoods, with Juan Gonzalez, founder and editor, El Tecolote, Earl Atkins, publisher, Marina Times, Willie Radcliffe, publisher, San Francisco Bayview, and our moderator, Glenn Golnes, publisher of the West Portal Monthly. Now is the time we're going to ask audience questions, and what I'm going to ask you to do is to speak into the microphone.
Hi, thanks. So you've told us a lot about the business of the newspapers and the Newspaper Association. Tell us what issues you think the Chronicle and the other local media are missing that you would like to push or you are covering.
Good question.
That's a great question. Does everyone want
to
go down?
I think for our neighborhood, I mean, it's not that they don't cover the neighborhood, but they cover negative news about the neighborhood. I mean, if you were to do a survey here, what is your perception of the Mission District? Well, there's a lot of gang banging, there's a lot of, beatings, and it's unsafe. They're reporting the wrong story. There's a lot of self-development that's going on in the community, a lot of self-help groups, a lot of cultural tantalizing stories that are out there that are not being told. So you get a misreflection, of what the neighborhood's on. And so that's what irritates me, is that they're paying too much attention on if it bleeds, it leads, right? The sensational story. And that's an irritation I have with the big boys that are when they're trying to cover. And they have the resources. I mean, they could have been strong newspaper covering neighborhoods, but they don't, because it's too costly. And they don't think that, those people read newspapers. And, I think there's a lot to be said in terms of they underestimate what the readership would be like in a neighborhood like the Mission when it comes to reading some of the daily newspapers, if they only tried to really cover it consistently with some solid stories that really tell the stories about that community and the history of that neighborhood. I think you'd see a change in terms of how it's perceived.
How many times have you seen the Chronicle write about inequality? They don't touch the subject. They're part of Wall Street. And the only reason some of them are coming through now, like PG&E, they used to wouldn't do anything with us. But now that they're looking so bad, here they come. They're advertising, and every time one of them get in trouble, they start advertising with our papers. Right. But other than that, they don't even talk to you. So they ain't fooling nobody. You know, we completely different. The Chronicle are going to stay in line because, you know, they get $3,000 or $4,000 for a page, and we get $2,100. That's the difference. But they, you know, they keep feeding them. But right now, the newspaper industry of the big boys, they're having problems. That's why a lot of them charge you just to go online to look at the paper. They're suffering. But we were able to pick up on it and move, and we got them coming to us to advertise. But they, you know, they're not kidding anybody. They're not going to talk about things that some of the big boys don't like other places. Maybe they'll stop advertising in the Chronicle. That's the way they look at it. Anyway, we doing good. We won't keep it up, and people are going to keep reading, even if they walking across and get run over looking at their phone, they're still going to read.
Earl,
that's what we're counting on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I love to read when I have time. So busy doing everything else. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming out.
Earl, do you want to comment?
That's a really great question, because a lot of what we do, you will also find in the general circulation publications. You know, you'll see it in the Chronicle. You'll see like in the Examiner. You'll see they'll gloss over what we will do in depth. And I think if you wanted to really say how do we differ, we have intimate engagement in our community. We know the people deeply. We know them. They call us, you know. And I think the Chronicle I like reading the Chronicle. I find it fun and informative. I mean, I'm not a basher, you know. I mean, it doesn't take that much time out of my day. And
gotta see what the Giants are doing.
But I mean, they're handicapped on one level by having to have a general appeal. I mean, and then on another, but I think what divides us is our intimacy with our community and our ability to deal with an issue that may be so trivial, not even of interest in a general way. And, you know, I mentioned earlier the Woodhouse Fish Restaurant project on Marina Green. Well, Chuck Nevis covered that story. That was it. And we wrote, he did a piece on it, and he did it, you know, he had a point of view. But we did three features on it. We talked to everybody involved. We talked to the supervisor, we talked to both parties who were for and against it. You know, we got into it. So how we differ in terms of the general circulation newspapers is we just go deeper on topics that are of concern to our community. And that's, I think, generally how we do it.
Excuse me. We have one lady who has a question.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Thank you very much. Good evening. I am Safi Wan Nairobi, KPOO Radio here in San Francisco, KPFA Radio in Berkeley. I don't want to be hoggish, but I have a separate question for each of the panelists, and I'll ask them all now, and then you all can respond if that's all right. So my first question is, al señor Juan Gonzalez, please tell people que significa el tecolote, because I don't know that everybody knows what that means.
Yeah.
And then my second question goes to Mr. Atkins. You talked about your constituency, affluent and educated. So I'm just wondering if there are uneducated or unaffluent people living in the Marina,
no,
or who read Marina Times.
I can handle that one.
Okay.
Now.
And then my final question goes to Dr. Willie Radcliffe, who was the prior owner of the San Francisco Bayview. And then for everybody, or maybe to Mr. Gomes, not to exclude him, does the San Francisco newspaper or Neighborhood Newspaper Association share resources? Thank you all so much, and happy fall.
Well, let me answer the first question.
So did everyone remember their question?
Yeah, I remember it, yeah.
Okay, let's go for it.
Tecolote means the owl. And, you know, we kind of played with it. We can play with it, you know, the wise old owl, the protector of the neighborhood. But then in real truth, at the time when we were starting the 70s, you know, late 60s, 70s, there was a lot of Spanish language newspaper had, you know, strong militant names. And we just wanted to divorce ourselves from that. We said, they're not people get far removed from the paper just because they're turned off by the name and they're scared of it. And so we chose a name that is kind of play with it, is non-threatening, and let the stories themselves be the threat, right, to tell, expose the wrongdoing. And it worked for us. So, just think of the El Tecolote, the owl, although sometimes some confusion, they think we're the pharmacy or the midnight plane flight, and we had to deal with those calls. No, this is the newspaper, but then that's what we chose.
Really? the demographics of our constituency is very affluent. You know, the average household income is $162,000 a year.
Well, how come they're not paying for your newspaper then? They're getting it for free. Well, come on.
Don't start. Please. And, you know, they college educated, 82% college educated, 78% professional. I mean, it's just a really high-end demographic, okay? That helps to shape the content of the paper. We have to address that. We have to provide a product that is acceptable to these folks. And you can still provide in doing that, you know, you have to take into mind the psychographic characteristics of your audience, too. I mean, these are people who have museum memberships. These are the people who go to the opera openings. They go to the symphony opening, you know. So how does that impact our editorial content? It impacts it. So we pay attention. We pay attention to these topics because we're interested in having readers of our paper. So our paper focuses on the community content, and then it focuses on the general interest lifestyle content that is appropriate to our audience. And that's how we shape our editorial content. That's how we build our paper. And so it's not right for every marketplace. It's not going to be read by every segment of San Francisco or every community. We're doing the job that we believe defines our audience interests. And it so happens to also work for attracting advertising because the advertisers are interested in reaching people who spend money. And that's our audience.
His last name is Mohammed. Right now, I skipped his first name. Usually, I try to forget about things way back there and keep moving. But he's doing advertising for us now. Right. But I do remember the Mohammed part. That's about it.
I'll address your question regarding how we share resources. As a publisher of the West Portal Monthly, I deal with communities basically from Twin Peaks to the beach, so it's the southwest portion of the city. The neighboring papers in that area would be the West Side Observer, the Ingleside Light, Sunset Beacon, even Noe Valley Voice in that immediate vicinity. Oftentimes we have overlapping concerns in neighborhoods, or we cover the same kind of things. So we'll share stories because we're reaching different people in terms of delivering to different houses or whatever. So we'll share different photographs if they apply to the area. We share advertising resources. I do a lot of selling for the entire association, so we help each other. If somebody wants to book a big ad and wants to reach a bunch of people, they can talk to just one of us, and we'll make sure as many people as possible will be served by that. We've also done investigative reporting, where we hire a reporter to go in and dig deep on a story, and we'll collectively pool our resources to pay them to get behind the scenes on a really deep story that's, you know, touches throughout the entire city beyond just the individual concerns of, you know, particular merchant corridor or, you know, parks in a certain area. But that collective sharing and the cooperative spirit that this organization have, it's great. I don't think any of us would be sitting here if it wasn't for that. This organization, after 25 years, and we're actually going strong when other newspaper corporations or whatever are struggling. It's really a good thing. I mean, I'm amazed every day that what we're doing to serve our communities and to help each other. I think it's a good thing for the city and our neighborhoods.
Unfortunately, we have reached that magic moment when we've last asked our last question and must thank our panel. This has really been a wonderful discussion, and I certainly have learned a lot. This is Ann Clark, and you're listening to the Commonwealth Club of California Radio and our program, San Francisco Neighborhood Newspapers, Creating Healthy and Informed Environments in Neighborhoods, with Juan Gonzalez, founder and editor of The Isle. Is that right? Earl Atkins, publisher, Marina Times, Willie Radcliffe, publisher, San Francisco Bayview, and our moderator, thank goodness for our moderator, Glenn Gulmes, publisher of the West Portal Monthly. Our thanks also tonight to Kevin O'Malley, who's the chair of the Business and Leadership Member-Led Forum, for co-sponsoring this program. He was very, very interested in and was very wonderful about co-sponsoring. Our thanks to our audience here today and our radio, television, and internet audiences. You will, as you notice, have the green sheet, and it has a list of our programs that are coming up this fall. I also encourage you, as you go out, you will find the display of all the newspapers you've heard about tonight, and I urge you to pick up a copy and take a look at how these newspapers are, you know, in terms of their content, how they're different, and yet how they're producing this wonderful commitment to our communities. But don't forget the newspaper when you walk out. Look for all the Commonwealth Club programs at www.commonwealthclub.org and check our radio, video, and free streaming podcasts. Remember, you can find our programs on radio, video, and podcasts, and watch programs on the California Channel Thursdays at 9 p.m. and then KRCB-TV Channel 22 on Comcast and DirecTV at 11 a.m. the last Sunday of each month. Subscribe to free podcasting services to automatically download a new program recording to your personal computer each week. Go to commonwealthclub.org/podcast. We look forward, and I look forward greatly. This has been a wonderful audience, so I want to see you come back and see all the interesting people we're going to have in the next couple of months. But we do look forward to having you tonight at wonderful audience that you've been tonight, and hope that you will come to our environmental programs. I'm Ann Clark, Chair of the Environment and Natural Resources Member-Led Program, and this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California, celebrating more than 110 years of enlightened discussion, and I let every audience know that I was not around for the 110 years, but this session is adjourned. Thank you. Thank you.